Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I'm glad you could join us again this week as we take another voyage into technology, things technical. Yes, indeed. We love our technology. As he wrings his hands gleefully. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, and you are here for Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. I would like to encourage you to go over and check out our blog, which is, of course, what started it all. Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which is at www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com. You say, Dr. Bill, that's a long, long URL. Yes, it is. But you know, you can type it in. I have great confidence in you. I have such confidence that I'm going to spell it for you. www, hey, you got that, dot the, T-H-E, computer, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R, curmudgeon, and this is the one I know a lot of folks have trouble with, C-U-R-M-U-D-G-E-O-N, as I said from day one, a dog that is a bad dog is a cur, rolling in the mud on the planet Geon, easy to remember, C-U-R-M-U-D-G-E-O-N, the computer, curmudgeon.com. Go check it out. You will not regret it, because we have the down low on things technical, alright? Alright, let's start off, first of all, reminding you that this is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, and today, as I record this, is April 1st, so happy April Fool's Day! Now, I'm not going to pull any April Fool's gags on you. That would be bad. However, it is also Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast number 30. We've reached the big 3-0. Dude, that's pretty wild. And it's a good time to remember that we are part of the TechPodcast.com network.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, if it's tech, it's here. And I want to remind you that the TechPodcast.com network is not just this thing. No, it is actually a resource. There are a lot of people who have tech podcasts that are members of the TechPodcast.com network. Now, one of those members is, and we like to cross-promote, you know, on our podcast, John W. Chambers has a podcast called The 1 Minute Tip. And let's hear from him what that podcast is all about.
Short on time? Check out The 1 Minute Tip, a collection of short podcasted tips, interviews, quick starts, and videos covering the technologies we use every day. A great little podcast to wedge between the minutes of your busy day. Check out The 1 Minute Tip at www.oneminutetip.com.
There you go. Another proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and you can go check out John's 1 Minute Tip podcast. Some good things are coming down the road from the TechPodcast.com network, and we'll be talking about that as we get there. But for right now, let's dive directly into, you know, I'm looking forward to swimming this summer, so diving just sounds good to me. But let's dive into the technical news of the week. The things that I blogged about on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog. That's a mouthful to say, you know, every time you say it. But anyway, IE exploits are getting worse. Well, duh! Internet Explorer is a dog with fleas, alright? So if you're still using Internet Explorer, you know, I'm almost to the point that if you're still using Internet Explorer, you pretty much deserve what you get, okay? But since we are a serious technology news podcast, yeah, I've got to report that last week it was reported there was a big and grievous exploit for Internet Explorer. They just keep getting worse, don't they? And it turns out now, this week, that there were another big hole, actually two other big holes reported in Internet Explorer. So big that Microsoft is thinking about releasing a special patch before the normal April patch cycle, which, of course, we're now, this is April 1st, so we're now into April. We're not that far away from that patch release. And not only that, I didn't even mention this in the blog. I saw this last night, that, again, some independent folks have written patches because Microsoft wasn't quick enough to release patches. Now, Microsoft's planning to release their patch on April 11th, but it's not ruling out an emergency out-of-cycle release patch. Well, folks have already come up with a patch for it. But, you know, the best patch, quote-unquote, for Internet Explorer is don't use it. Use Mozilla Firefox. Now, I have lots of links in the blog to Mozilla Firefox. If you, you know, if you're not even where you can click on those handily, you can just go to Mozilla, mozilla.com, download Firefox. Doesn't take long, on a particularly on a broadband link, and then install it, and just do away with the Internet Explorer icons. I mean, just hide them. Do something with them. But don't click on Internet Explorer. Use Firefox. Okay. Now, our Geek Software of the Week, wow, this week, I am excited about it. Now, I've shared my excitement with several other of my geeky friends, and they kind of go, eh. But it's exciting to me, okay? And the reason it's exciting to me is because of personal experience. You know, as geeks, we have personal experiences with our computers. They're personal computers. You know, we get a relationship going, so to speak. And let's not get weird out there, okay? But we get this relationship with our personal computer. And when things happen that are not, shall we say, the way they should be, it can be frustrating personally, okay? Many years ago, and I'm years ago, I downloaded and paid for the paid version of Music Match. It was a nice little music player and jukebox. The difference being a music player will just play one song at a time. You have to click and start it every time. A jukebox will play songs in a directory structure, one after the other after the other, so you can, you know, kind of go on and do other things while you're listening to music or whatever you might be listening to, audio of some kind. And Music Match was good for that, and I really enjoyed using it. But as time went by, Music Match would have an upgrade, and then another upgrade, and then another upgrade. And they started adding in little dumb, crazy things. It got bigger and heavier, kind of like Microsoft. You know, they start off with a fairly compact operating system, and now it's just bloated out to the point that it's huge. Well, the same thing was happening with Music Match. And it finally got to the point it was interfering with other programs, and you'd shut down your system, and there'd be an error as your system shut down because of Music Match. And, you know, it would take over your background on your desktop, and it would pop up. Now, I've got the paid version now, but it would pop up with little ads that say, don't you want to buy this little add-on for Music Match? I got really tired of it. So finally, I just had enough of all the bloatware, and I deleted it. Now, that's all well and good. But the problem is, I was forced to go back to playing audio files one at a time. I didn't have a jukebox feature. Now, my brother-in-law, who's also a geek and who I work with at CCL, Center for Creative Leadership, John Wood, he said, well, Dr. Bill, why don't you just use Microsoft Media Player? It will work like a jukebox. Yeah, John, I know it does, but it's from the evil empire. I don't like using Microsoft stuff, okay? So, I went out, and for the Geek Software of the Week, I have found a really cool media player that will play in a jukebox fashion. It doesn't have pop-ups. It doesn't have spyware. It doesn't have things that take over your system. It is a lovely piece of software, and better yet, it is built upon a foundation of open source software. Dude, what could be better than that? And it actually has some features built into it that make listening to the music or audio, whatever it may be, even cooler, because it auto, checks your volume and keeps it just right. Oh man, it is so cool. You got to try it. You know, if nothing else, try it, because it is, of course, free. Yes, indeed, it is free. It's called Media Monkey. Now, I know it's got a weird name, okay, Media Monkey, but that's all right. It's all good, okay? Go to MediaMonkey.com, download this lovely piece of software, and you will thoroughly enjoy it. It will manage large collections of audio files. We're talking 50,000-plus audio files. And it doesn't matter where they're located, on your hard drive, on a CD, on the network. It'll play PLS files. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but I do streaming audio using a technology called Shoutcast. And Shoutcast creates .PLS files, okay? And those PLS files are what allow the streaming to occur. So you have to have an audio player that recognizes PLS files. Media Monkey does, because it actually incorporates some of Winamp's technology into Media Monkey. It includes lots of various software that's open source in it, and it supports MP3, it supports Ogg Vorbis, it supports WMA, even Microsoft Windows Media Audio. It supports FLAC, MPC, WAVFILE, CDA, M3U, PLS, all of these different formats. It will synchronize with your iPod or other portable media device. It has special volume leveling, like I mentioned. Oh, man, it is so cool. I am really excited about it. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And it looks cool, too. I mean, it's skinnable. You can put all kinds of skins on it. But I just like the default, Windows XP skin. It looks really cool to me. It's just a neat piece of software. So I'm pretty excited about this week's Geek Software of the Week. I'd encourage you to go out and get it. There's a link on the site. Look for the cute little monkey head there. And click on the Media Monkey download page link, which is really just MediaMonkey.com/download.htm, so it's real easy to find. Get the standard edition. That one is free. If you want to get the full edition, to be honest, there's not a lot of additional features in the, paid-for edition. So go ahead and get the standard edition. You will love it. Okay, that's the Geek Software of the Week. Now let's move along. Will Apple run Windows apps in emulation? This sounds interesting. Recently we saw how some hackers got Windows XP to run on the new Intel-based Mac systems, and they won that $13,000 or so, whatever it was, award for doing that. Well, now, I think all the fervor over that has shown Apple, this might be a cool way to take over the world. think about it. Apple has 4 or 5% of the personal computer market. It's a fairly small niche. Now, granted, it's a niche that's composed mostly of, media creation types, people that are doing Final Cut Pro for DVDs and video production. It's high-end stuff, and people who are using Photoshop and doing a lot of graphics-intensive stuff. But even that has, diminished somewhat, because all of Photoshop, some of those platforms and applications are available over on Windows now. So it's less and less of a specialty niche that Macintosh computers and Apple are looking at. So they need to expand. It's wisdom to expand their segment of the populace that are using Macs. So, they've gone to the Intel platform. Microsoft OS X is built on OpenBSD. So, what if you built an emulator into, the next release of OS X? Or OS X. I know some people pronounce it one way or other, another. So, whatever, turns you on, go ahead and go with it. But the thing is, what if they built an emulator into it that would allow you to run Windows applications within OS X or OS X. That would be really cool. And it's close to what John C. Dvorak predicted last month when he suggested that on an Intel-powered Apple, they would dump OS X and switch to Windows. Now, I don't see that happening because Windows is... I mean, why would you want to switch to Windows if you could help it, okay? But being able to run Windows software under OS X, that would be cool. So what if they came out with a VMware-style virtualization-type capability within it that allowed you to run Windows applications on OS X? Cool. And that's the rumor that came out on March 30th, and, you know, it may just be true. That would be really cool, and that would change things quite a bit. All right, as long as we're talking about Windows and Evil Empire, let's move along and talk about Microsoft possibly suing over patent infringement from Linux. Now, you know, there is no, when one company sues another over patent infringement, that's one thing. But Linux is not a company. Linux is a movement. You know, it's like a it's a thing unto itself. So suing Linux is kind of an odd way of maybe saying this. But basically, what Microsoft is possibly threatening to do is trying to destroy Linux. I mean, you know, they can't compete against it because Linux is free, it's more stable, it's better, and it's running a lot of servers, and Microsoft is really upset about that. But what are they going to do? Well, what they can try to do is sue over patent infringement. They're claiming that certain of their software patents might be infringed on by Linux. Now, mostly, this is just spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They probably won't do this. This came from a Forbes interview with Steve Ballmer, Microsoft CEO, and he just kind of hinted at it. He said, well, I think there are experts that claim that Linux violates our intellectual property, so I'm not going to comment on that. But he just kind of threw it out there, this little possibility that they might be considering legal action. And, of course, that would put a chill on people adopting Linux as a server operating system in the enterprise environment. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. FUD. Okay? And also on this article that I have about will Microsoft sue Linux over patents, there's a link to a history of Microsoft FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, that's pretty amazing. Now, in 1997, Microsoft said Linux is not a threat. In 1999, they said Linux is not very powerful. In 2001, they said Linux is just not very nice. Okay. In 2002, it said it's really not all that cheap. Free is pretty cheap, actually. But let's not get into that. 2003, they said it's not legal. Huh? In 2006, they said, hey guys, it's really not legal. And that's what they're trying to say now. Basically, Microsoft has tried to say before that Linux is like some kind of commie plot. Okay, yeah, Microsoft, I think you're shaking in your boots over Linux is what I think. So anyway, that's what I blogged about there. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, very important, get your pencils and pieces of paper to write this down. Are you ready? Okay, here it comes. Ta-da! You can come to the Greensboro Linux Users Group meeting. The what, you say? GLUG, GLUG, or Greensboro Linux Users Group, is a group of folks in the Greensboro, North Carolina area that meet and enjoy one another's company and information concerning the Linux operating system. Now, this coming Monday, now you see as I record this is April 1st, this coming Monday will be April the 3rd at 7 o'clock. The Greensboro Linux Users Group meeting will take place at the Center for Creative Leadership. And you go, oh, that sounds familiar. Yes, indeed, because that's where I work, is at the Center for Creative Leadership. It's got a lovely campus. You need to come out and see it. It's really cool. But better still, come out for the Greensboro Linux Users Group meeting. We're going to be talking about, and I'm not giving the presentation, okay, but you know, I'm going to be there with bells on. And I'm going to be listening to the presentation on Linux-based media systems, like, for instance, Myth TV. Now, if you're not familiar with Myth TV, dude, you need to check it out. Basically, you can take an old PC, you can slap a card in it, you know, like, the Hapage, I think that's how you pronounce it, card. ATI has a card, several cards that you can put in there that are encoder cards for MPEG-2. And then this is a Linux-based application that runs on the PC, dedicated PC, and allows you to hook it to your TV, and it is a DVR and so much more. It just has all kinds of features. For instance, you go into like the main screen, and on that main screen, you've got the ability to watch live TV, record live TV, play a recording of your TV that you have recorded, you know, from a DVR, a PVR, a digital video recorder, or personal video recorder, whichever you prefer using. You can go into setup. You can delete recordings. It's all kinds of things you can do from the main menu. Then you can get in there, and it has a Myth weather function that you can set up to be your local weather. You can look for programs with a program guide. Basically, everything that you can do on a TiVo plus a whole lot more, you can do with Myth TV. You can rip audio and video. You can store your audio on it and use it as a MP3 playing jukebox center. There's just all kinds of stuff you can do with Myth TV. It is really, really cool. And it has completely automatic commercial detection and skipping. You got to love that. Anyway, they're going to be demoing that and talking about other media players that are Linux-based at the Greensboro Linux User Group meeting. So I extend you a cordial invitation to come out to that meeting if you're in the Greensboro, North Carolina area. Now, I know we've got folks listening from Hong Kong and Germany, and they're all going, dude, come on, I want to be able to go too. Well, who knows? Maybe one day in the not-too-distant future, we'll record the user group meetings and the presentations and put them out as video on the web. Dude, that would be cool. So anyway, if you are, though, in the Greensboro, North Carolina area, anywhere in the metropolitan area of Greensboro, come on out to the Center for Creative Leadership. I've got a link on the blog under the Greensboro Linux User Group Meeting Myth TV heading for directions to CCL, and there are directions there from all over the triad, from the airport, from Raleigh-Durham, from Winston, from Charlotte, from Danville, Virginia. I mean, hey, wherever you may be, come on down Monday. And, you know, we've got a room that should seat, 20 or so people. But if we, you know, we outgrow that, if everybody that's listening just comes all at one time, we'll just go on upstairs to the big conference room that'll seat several hundred people if we have to, you know. And that would be a good problem to have. We'd just troop right on up there and get into that larger room. That's not a problem. Because the center won't have any activities going on at 7 o'clock at night other than the Greensboro Linux User Group meeting, so that'll be good. But at any rate, I encourage you to come on out and get into that meeting. So that's one reason that I'm glad I was able to kind of save this little tidbit to the last, because I want to leave you with that and encourage you to come out, because as you may know, I am on a personal crusade to rid the world of the evil empire. Yep. You know, somebody has got to be Luke Skywalker. And I guess that's me. Nah, you know better than that. There's a whole lot of Luke Skywalkers out there, because the Force is with us against the evil empire, and we will prevail. So, let me also remind you very quickly before I leave, a couple more things you need to do for me, just for the doctor. Go out, go to the blog, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which is at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Scroll down the right-hand side until you see the brightly colored. Click here to stick a pin in Dr. Bill's Frapper map. Go to that link, click on the image. It will take you to the Frapper map. If you just have to get there very quickly, you can go to www.frapper, which is F-R-A-P-P-R, no E, .com/thecomputercurmudgeon, and you will see the people who have stuck pins in our map. Now, I know there's a lot more people out there listening than have stuck pins in the map. So far, 16 have. Now, they're from a lot of different places. You know, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, United Kingdom, Georgia, Nebraska, High Point, yeah, High Point, go High Point, Hong Kong, Romania, Lower Saxony, Germany, so several folks from Greensboro, including myself, and of course, Adam Winter, our college friend from Charlotte. I'm going to have to do another Skype interview with Adam again. Adam, if you're out there listening, start thinking of stuff to talk about, because we need to do that. But at any rate, join the Frapper map so we can see where you're from. You know, we're beginning to get the East Coast kind of lined with people there. And we've got, like I said, folks from all over the world. So join us there. The other thing I want you to do is, if you are so inclined, let me know whether I should buy a MacBook Pro. Okay, that's Mac's new Intel-based notebook. And will the doctor leave the Intel-based Windows platform for the MacBook Pro? You can help decide by sending me your comments, suggestions. I don't really want your flames, so don't send the flames. And you can really help if you want to by clicking on the Make a Donation button on the website and sending a donation via PayPal to the MacBook Pro Fund. If you really want, you know, there may be some rabid Mac guy out there that's going, dude, you just got to get a MacBook Pro. Here's $2,400 blip through PayPal because you just got to have it. Hey, I'd run out and get one today if I had the money. But I don't. So, if you really want to make a donation, do so. If you don't want to make a donation, just send me an email and let me know what you think I ought to do. And there you go. How do you do that? You send it to Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I want to hear from you. Send me an email. All right, well, it's just about time to slide on out of here, so I guess I had better just start doing that. Yes, indeed. The doctor's sliding. Up! And that floor is hard. The doctor is out till next week.